Welcome to the Teach, Lead, Innovate podcast, where we dive deep into the heart of innovation, leadership, and transformative ideas shaping the future of education and technology. Each episode is a journey into the minds of visionary educators, thinkers, and leaders who are not just talking about change, they're living it. Real people leading real change. This is where passion meets practice and ideas come to life. Welcome to the Teach, Lead, Innovate podcast. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Teach, Lead, Innovate podcast. I'm very excited today to welcome to the podcast AJ Bianco. AJ is a husband and proud father of three who has dedicated his professional life to the field of education. Currently serving as the assistant principal at Eastbrook Middle School in New Jersey, AJ brings experience and a passion for innovative teaching practices to his role. One of AJ's primary areas of focus is on empowering and supporting educators. He takes great pride in coaching teachers, guiding them towards strategies that not only elevate their teaching skills, but also maximize the potential of their students. AJ is a firm believer in the transformative power of technology in the classroom and consistently advocates for its integration to enhance the learning experience. Known for his commitment to progressive educational approaches, AJ champions blended learning practices, personalized learning, project-based learning, and the flipped classroom model. He believes in tailoring teaching methods to the unique needs of each student, fostering a dynamic and inclusive learning environment. And AJ's influence extends beyond the school walls through his engagement with the education community. An avid podcast listener himself, AJ is not only the host of the Reflect Ed podcast, but also the co-host of Podcast PD. Through these platforms, he shares his insights, interviews thought leaders, and explores the latest trends in education, all with the goal of inspiring and informing educators worldwide. Now it's time for me to interview you. You're a thought leader, AJ. Welcome to the Teach, Lead, Innovate podcast.
Oh, Dave, thank you very much. I appreciate that. That bio makes me sound like I actually do something in education, but I appreciate you, man.
You got it, man. You sure do. So, AJ, just to start off, can you share a bit about your journey into education that led you to become an educator and eventually a middle school vice principal?
Yeah, so it's strange, right? I wanted to be an educator since I was 12 years old. It was the only thing I ever wanted to do besides playing baseball. I used to work at a summer camp, and I had these group of five-year-olds who I just adored. We did everything together over the summer, had so much fun. And I went home one day, I said to my parents, I'm going to be a teacher when I grow up. And my parents looked at me and said, yeah, we kind of knew that that's what you were going to do. And as I went through, I went into be an elementary education major. But the first day I did my observations as a 19-year-old, I had a kid walk up to me with a booger on his finger and say, can you wipe this? And I turned around and basically almost walked out of the classroom. My sister was the middle school. And I said, you got to get me out of here. Like, you got to let me observe some middle school. And that's where my journey started with middle school. And I've been, you know, in a middle school now for 19 years. This is my fourth year as assistant principal at Eastbrook here in Bergen County. And, you know, I love middle school. There's something about middle school that you just don't see anywhere else. Like, I know, Dave, I know you're a high school guy. But with middle school, you can always make those connections with the kids. I always felt like you have that little bit of intensity and a little bit of the amount of joking you could do with the kids, you know, but there's just something about middle school that I've absolutely adored for these past 19 years.
Yeah, you know, I came from high school, now I'm in elementary. Middle school is one place I haven't touched, but I always get excited when I hear people because you talk to them. Middle school people are middle school people and they love it. Yeah. But I've also seen middle school people be able to transition really well to secondary or to high school or to elementary. So going back to being an assistant principal, how would you define your leadership style and has it evolved over time?
I see myself, honestly, as a servant leader. You know, that's the way I've always kind of envisioned what I do. I want to be there for the people. And that's something I've always sold. I think through the podcast, through the way I used to teach, it's always being there to help somebody in some way. So servant leadership has been something I've always kind of prided myself on. But lately, you know, with the idea of coaching that I've really kind of fallen in love with, I see myself more as like a transformational leader. You know, I'm trying to take That's my awesome. Teachers and put them on a journey so they can figure out who they are themselves. You know, we've all had that. Like, I've grown in my role. I did social studies. I've done a PD coordinator. I did a supervisor of curriculum and technology, and now I'm doing the AP role. So I've watched myself grow. I've taken time to learn new things. I've transformed myself, and I try to do the same thing for my staff. So while I see myself more as a servant leader, you know, that transformational piece is definitely something that I'm looking more towards.
Absolutely, AJ. And I think, and I always go back to this, is the power of relationships. I don't think any of that stuff can be done without really valuing and putting it at a premium, forming relationships, especially with your staff, because I've had so many leaders pour into me and I wouldn't be there, wouldn't be where I am today without them. And I think we owe it. It is really a servant leadership to be able to do that for others. So I'm really super excited to hear that you are doing that as well every day. So we talk about middle school students. Middle school students have a variety of diverse needs, as I'm sure you know. But What are some effective ways that we can meet those needs, especially during these very formative years?
Yeah, I think you just hit it right there when you said relationships. That's first and foremost with our middle school kids. You know, I'm in a building that's grades 5 through 8. So I have 10-year-olds all the way up to 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds. And while they're different on every level, like the relationship comes first. Like if those kids don't feel like you're there for them, they're not going to respond to you.
Of course.
So, you know, every day we're at the front door, we're welcoming our students. You know, it's always a good morning. Whether they say it back to us or not, it doesn't matter. You know, we're there for them and they see that. You know, we're there during lunch, we're there in the hallways, during the transition time. So our students know that we're visible and we're approachable. And I think that really is what makes a difference. When we come in the classrooms, you know, a lot of teachers joke, well, hey, Mr. Bianco, as soon as you got here, everybody got quiet. I'm like, well, let's go, bring out the noise. Like, I don't want them sitting back and being quiet. This is not a morgue or a graveyard. Let them get active with their learning. So I think for middle school, they have to see that there's a combination of seriousness when it's time to be serious and some silliness when you have that downtime and when you want to play a little bit. That's the beauty of middle school. You know, when they come out of elementary school, I know there's a lot of fun. There's a lot of excitement. I see it in my own kids. You know, I have a 5th grader. He starts middle school this year. He gets jealous of his 3rd grade brother because it's a pajama day or a crazy hat day. And he goes, I can't have a pajama day anymore. So as a middle school person, you have to remember that learning needs to be fun. So you're connecting, not just through conversation, but connecting through the activities and the events that you're doing. And that's what I try to bring to school every single day. A little silliness, a little seriousness. That's who I am.
I love to hear that too, because I think it's so important to have that silly too. And of course, yes, I'm in elementary, but I can say that the same thing when I was in high school. I was a social studies teacher. I would dress up as historical characters and the kids loved it. Like they thought it was silly. And I'm not going to lie, the first couple of times I did it, I was like, I hope it goes right. And it did, because those kids, they want that. They want that. And I think sometimes we think elementary, yeah, it's fun. And then it's like, it's got to hit a switch and they got to get serious. I think it's got to be a real balance. And I think you hit on that. So as an assistant principal, I remember the high school I was, you know, discipline is a lot of your day and it can be a lot of the role. What approach do you take to discipline, conflict resolution, to ensure a safe and respectful learning environment?
You know, I talk about being a servant leader, and I try to be there as much as I can for the staff and try to help them with the problems that they have in the classrooms. Like discipline right now, I think we're at a time where our students are a little off, right? You know, a lot of what we hear is students are very disrespectful. Students are buried in their phones. So I think what we're really trying to do is retrain our students, right? So I'm really trying to find ways that we can have the conversations with our kids and really look at what they did and how they can improve. You know, I don't believe in the pat on the back and send them back to class. There has to be some kind of solution and resolution based on what they did. You know,
of course,
it may seem like, oh, nothing happened, but like, I don't go around telling my teachers, yeah, you know, little Johnny has 3 lunch detentions and an after school for his actions.
Yeah.
I don't feel like teachers need to know that. They don't need to look at the kid now as a problem child. You know, they need to know that it was brought to my attention. You sent them to me. I solved the problem. So when I look at this, you know, we talk about PBIS and like, that's something I'm looking into more in my school. We're looking at restorative practices and restorative conversations and, you know, we're reading different books to figure out what the best method is But I think it's a combination, because coming down on our kids right now, they're going to shut down, especially with the middle school. If you just tell them you're in trouble, go home for out of school suspension, that's it. They're done. What are they getting out of that? If you're sitting them in the office and just sit there, what are they getting out of that? They need to find a way to learn from the mistakes. Just like we do with our kids at a young age, we need to continue to push and show that if you make a mistake, here's your consequence. And now you're going to sit, you're going to do some assignment. You're either going to, you know, I'm not going to say write a letter for getting into a fight, but if it's something small, you're going to sit and reflect on what you did.
What I hear even in your explanation there, and you know, is that discipline is important. It's important that it's done with dignity and with love and care as well. And I think that that's something, I mean, when we take a look at the news today, yeah, we do see that, especially since the pandemic, post-pandemic, that discipline has been an issue. And I think that that's something that I've spoken to a few people on the podcast, that is something that is nationwide. And I think we still have a lot of things we need to do as far as profession moving forward. But I think doing whatever we do, we've got to move forward with love, care, and of course, compassion. So, AJ, is there any program or initiative that you've led at your school that you think that has had a significant impact on student learning and engagement that you're pretty stoked about, pretty excited about?
You know, I think right now, like, I would love to go tech heavy and just do, like, in my classroom. I used to love doing project-based learning and doing the blended learning and flip classroom. And that really brought out a lot of great ideas from our kids. I don't know if technology is the answer right now. And like, as my platform was that when I was doing all the things for PD and development, I love technology and I found great uses of technology. I don't know if technology is the answer right now. You know, I think what we're doing in our school is really focusing on SEL, you know, the social emotional part of our students, getting to them there and having them find that routine, whether it's mindful breathing, whether it's, you know, practicing gratitude. Like, those are the things that I find are working a lot, are working best in a lot of the classrooms that we're in, because that's where students can kind of break down their barriers and be somebody else that they don't usually want to be in front of their classmates. So we're throwing out a lot of SEL right now in our district. And I think we're building those ideas for students to be more resilient and not just focus on academics that are just going to sit there and bore them, to be honest. Like, they're just not numbers. They're people. And when they leave us, they're going to still be people. You know, I remember my SAT score because it identified me for every college I applied to, but that's not who I am. Because if I looked at my SAT score today, I would not be sitting where I am. I would not be doing the things that I'm doing. So I love the fact that we are bringing SEL into our schools and really working with our staff to help them understand the importance of SEL and what we can do for our students, and then bring in technology because they have enough of it at home.
SEL for students is obviously, it's extremely important topic right now. It's something we have to keep pushing forward with. What about our teachers and our staff members? How do you think we need to move forward as a profession, taking care of them, especially in that area?
It's so difficult, right? Like, as an educator, my wife is an educator. I don't know what we can do for our teachers. And I hate to say it like that, because everywhere you look, any message board you see, Facebook, Instagram, whatever the post is, it's, we need more time. I wish I can give you more time. Right? The day is what the day is. We have our schedule. We can't change that. You know, if you ask me to leave a few minutes early, I'm going to let you go. Right? So for me, the SEL part there is your family comes first and your health comes first. Go do that. For me and for my principal also, we don't send emails after hours, unless it's something that's super important. If you're home after 4 o'clock, you're not getting an email from me until 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, I might type up an email and schedule it, but they don't need that when they're home. You know, I tell my wife all the time, like kids emailing her, it's 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, put it down. They're not going to look at their email at 11 o'clock and you're not going to have a correspondence at that time. That's not appropriate. Put your phone down. You know, I wish we can give more money for our teachers. I really do. But, you know, I try to, me and my principal try to find ways that we can bring things into to the teachers, whether it's some snacks or some extra, you know, bonus during lunchtime. We try to do those kind of things. Obviously, you know, there's only so much you can give when it comes to treats, but whatever it is to make people feel like we're thinking of them, you know, I think that's part of what gets to our teachers. Just a little bit of a thank you. That's social emotional part. That's going to be a little bit of health there, you know, something special for them to just know that there's gratitude and we appreciate everything they're doing for our kids.
And I think that's so important, AJ, you said a gratitude. You're right. It can be frustrating. We wish that we could, you know, I'm not in charge of salaries and I'm sure you aren't either. And, you know, we wish we could, you know, somehow go past the tax code and raise everybody's, but ideally I wish we could do that. But I think at the very basic thing, we really have to foster schools of gratitude and really show our people as much as we can, tell them, show them how much they matter. Because I mean, it's basic common leadership that someone who feels appreciated is going to want to do. And, you know, and it has to be real too, of course, that appreciation.
Yes. Of course. You know, of course.
Absolutely. So I know we just talked a little bit about tech and that, you know, it may not be the answer, but as you know, I mean, you just take a look at the news, you know, the Apple Vision Pro's out and AI is, I mean, now they are going to be, I think OpenAI is now coming upon a video model where you'll be able to type in text and it will make a video. How do you envision the future of education with those advancements going on? What do you think it's going to look like?
Yeah, I'm trying to embrace it myself, right? I'm trying to use AI as best I can. You know, I don't rely on it for everything that I'm doing because there has to be the right amount of usage. And the same thing for our kids. It's like any technology, everything that's new, we're going to have to explore because they're already using it in some way. You know, I'm noticing now when I go to Google and I type in something to a search, it's no longer just giving me websites. Google is now giving me a write-up of anything I ask. And I love that because I can actually kind of find a clip of what I'm looking for and then dive in and search a little bit deeper based on what they're telling me, you know? So for me in AI, I'm using it for learning purposes. So for example, if I'm looking for PBIS in my school, I'm trying to find new ways to code my writing for AI and trying to figure out exactly how I can dig in and understand rewards for PBIS or finding a way to use restorative practices and restorative conversations appropriately. So instead of just looking at a website that's been there for 12, 13 years, AI is giving us up-to-date information and it's giving it to us super fast. Like we don't have to sit around. What we used to do when it came time for research papers, right? We're writing theses and like, please go to the library. The book is gone. Wait a month to check it out. Like we don't have to do that now. AI is giving us everything we need. It's right at our fingertips. And for us as educators, we need to embrace the AI, show how to use it, and then bring it to the classrooms appropriately, right? I have so many teachers coming to me and I try to work with them to figure this out, but the teacher is saying, I can tell so-and-so is using AI on their response. I said, okay, so this is a middle school. You know, maybe it's a fifth or sixth, whatever. The student needs to have that conversation. And if you want me to sit with you and I'll lead the conversation with you, that's fine. But we can't just bang the student and say, well, you got a zero, used AI. Obviously, the student was struggling in some way that AI was there to help them, but they don't know the difference of using AI appropriately and using AI to their benefit because they want something done fast. So to make this long answer short, AI is going to be extremely important. And I think we need to embrace it and figure out how it's best used for us. So if you want to take a moment in your classroom, stop the curriculum a little bit, dive into AI, have somebody come in, watch a video with your students. What do you guys know about this? Where do you want to go? What do you see? How is this going to change your life in 10 years when you're no longer in school? You know, and I think that really gets the ball rolling and puts our students in a place of ownership. Like, and they might take more responsibility and not just say, well, it's going to answer my question. This is now going to help me in my future.
I agree. AI has already changed so much and it will likely continue to do so. But one really interesting use of AI is in tutoring. You know, I have four daughters And the other day, my oldest daughter was doing an algebraic equation. And, you know, I'm a social studies teacher. I'm a history professor. So math is a topic that I have to continue to work forward, on. And so, you know, I was able to take a picture of the specific problem, circle in ChatGPT, circle the specific problem. And I said, explain how to, you know, the rationale. And I said, explain it to a 13-year-old. And the way it was flawless. And my daughter was like, oh, wow, I understand that. And I think, I remember my own experience when I had math problems because I struggled with math. I would go home. I couldn't understand it. I felt stupid. And it was terrible. But if that would have been there when I was, and I could have used it for better understanding of the equations and the problems, I think it would have been a game changer. I think it's how we use the technology as an everything.
Absolutely. It would have helped me tremendously in high school. You know, even in middle school, I was the student. This is why I went to middle school. I was the kind of student that I did fine. I did enough to get by. I got the information I needed, and I'm going to do well on the test, and I'll walk away with a B, maybe an A, depending on the class, right? AI would have given me that extra opportunity that I could learn a little bit on my level. Maybe I need it dumbed down, quote unquote, right? But like having the AI, yes. Is it scary right now? It is, because we're seeing a lot of the AI used in TV, used in videos, used in music, and things are changing. So does it get a little nerve-wracking for people? Absolutely. But again, this is where the training comes in. This is where everything that we want to use it well, that's where it's going to change for us.
And I think we're going to have to move towards some sort of regulation too of AI at a national level. Because, you know, you'll be able, especially when you talk about the fact that videos are going to be soon produced through text, like you can make anything. And so at some point we want to make sure that we can decipher what's true and false, you know, that critical thinking part. So going back to your role as an assistant principal, what do you think is the most rewarding parts of that job? Because we always hear, oh, the discipline, but I think there are some seriously rewarding parts. And I want to kind of have all our listeners hear that. What do you think?
Man, every day has a little bit of rewards, right? You know, every day I come home, I say, how's your day? And I sit back for a second. I'm like, I don't know. I had to deal with this discipline issue. I have, you know, in New Jersey, we have the HIB laws. I opened up a new HIB or, you know, lunch detention, a kid did this. And I'm like, you know what? Hold up a second. Let me think. And like, again, it goes back to the start of the day. Every interaction, every kid that decides, you know what, Miss Bianca, here's a fist bump for you today. Here's a high five. And they come out of the woodwork. And it's those small moments that continue to add up to really make our jobs worthwhile. You know, what are we in this for? We're in it for the kids. That's why we got into this profession. Yes, if we're doing middle school and high school, we love our content area and we appreciate it, but we're teaching it to kids and we're finding ways to embrace them. So, for me, every moment that a kid stops me and wants to have a conversation or will indulge me in my stupidity and my dad jokes, I'm all in. That's where I have those moments of, you know what, this day wasn't really that bad, but there were a couple of moments that I just couldn't stand.
They love dad jokes, don't they?
They sure do. They sure do. And it's okay if they tell me I'm stupid. That's all right.
So, AJ, what advice would you give someone who's aspiring to become a vice principal or to take on any type of leadership role in education?
Don't do it. No, I'm just kidding. There's a reason. Let me say this. There's a reason that people are aspiring to be leaders. They see something in themselves and they know they can do a job that is quite difficult today. You know, with all the things we have to go through and all the initiatives we have to deal with and, you know, and the anger with parents, there are still great things there. And if you have the desire to lead, then what I would say is, and what I'm sure you did and what I did, find somebody you trust, somebody who wants to be your mentor, follow them. Whether you follow them online or if you are able to connect with them and be in their school, follow them and learn from them. See what they do. Don't do what they do because everybody's method is different, but see what they do and figure out how it works best for you. You know, what kind of leader do you want to be? As you asked me to start off this conversation, what kind of leader are you going to be? You know, I chose leadership because in my classroom for 14 years, I led those kids, and I felt as I did more PD, I can lead more people through a different journey. That's where the transformational piece came for me. So I noticed that I have a way of working with people that I'm not the smartest person in the room. I never will be. And I figured that I can get people to be the smartest people in the room based on my guidance. So if that's you out there and you feel that, go for it. But you got to dive all in. You can't go halfway on this, because I think right now, teachers need their leaders more than anything.
Yes.
And they are going to rely on you every day to help and to guide and to determine what the best method is for our students.
Now, that's some wonderful gems right there you just dropped there, EJ. Good stuff.
Thank you.
So I'm excited because this is the first time I got to, as somebody who has a podcast now, interview another podcaster. So AJ, can you tell us about your podcast?
Yeah. So I'm a podcast aficionado, I guess, right? So Chris Nessie, an educator in New Jersey. If you don't know Chris, follow him at Mr. Nessie. He is the, as we call him, the podfather, right? He loves podcasts. So Chris got me and Stacy Lindis involved in podcasts. And the way it started was Sunday nights when Twitter chats were the coolest thing in the world, we would be doing Twitter chats and the three of us would be talking behind the scenes. So we'd be tweeting and then talking. And then later on, we changed it that we would just be live doing a live Twitter chat. As people were talking to us, we would highlight a lot of the tweets that were coming in. And then Chris goes, you know what? We need to do a podcast. So Chris had his podcast, House of Ed Tech, and all of a sudden it branched out. Now that we had Podcast PD, and over the last 7 years, 8 years, maybe, we've been doing Podcast PD. Stacy has taken a kind of back seat right now, but we're going to get her back. And what Podcast PD is really just talking about the things in education that we love. As Chris says, it's the PD you want, but you have more fun with us because we're talking about different things, right? It's not sit and get. It's interactive, and that's what we appreciate. So Chris and I are recording once a month. We love what we do. We have our episodes every Sunday night are live, and then they come out the next Wednesday for a podcast version. So that's Podcast PD. I have another podcast, which is my podcast, called Reflect Ed, where it's just me and other guests, or sometimes me solo. And that podcast is really just my reflections on education and people's thoughts on what they're doing on a daily basis. I've kind of taken a hiatus from that one just based on this role and the time commitment, but I do plan on getting back to it because I do have that passion for sharing my ideas. And then finally, for those Yankee fans out there, Chris and I have another podcast called The Chase for 28, where it's all Yankees. And we try to do a weekly once the season begins, and we talk about the Yankees and our thoughts. And you can listen to me kind of go crazy about how angry I am with this team. He loves it because it's a good laugh for him. But yeah, so you got Podcast PD, you got Reflect Ed, and you got Chase for 28. And you got me all over the place doing these podcasts because I absolutely love sharing ideas and learning from people.
Where can, if our listeners are interested in hearing your podcast, where can they find them?
Anywhere you listen to podcasts. So if you look for Podcast PD, you want the live version, we have the YouTube channel there. I listen to everything on Spotify, but we're everywhere. Chris puts us in every single podcast medium. So Apple, Spotify, Pocket Cast, I don't know, whatever you listen to, you'll find it. Just search by those names.
Now, how can people get in touch with you, AJ, if they want to learn more, get in touch with you, get your insights on education? How can they find you?
Yeah, so I'm all over the place. You can find me on Facebook. Just put AJ Bianco in there. Same thing with LinkedIn. I'm also on Instagram, which is probably my preferred choice right now. I am just reposting a lot of motivation and inspiration. That's just who I am, right? So you can find me on Instagram at AJ Bianco. Twitter, still the same thing. I am not there as much because I don't like the platform as much as I used to. But again, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, type in AJ Bianco. I'm there. I'm happy to connect, happy to learn from you and with you.
Outstanding. AJ, thank you so much for coming on to the Teach, Lead, Innovate podcast today. It has been truly a pleasure having you, and I'm sure, positive, that you are going to continue to do amazing things as an educational leader.
Dave, thank you. I can't wait to get you on Podcast PD.
That's it. All right, everyone. Until we meet again, stay inspired, stay positive, and have the best day ever.